When you come down with a cold or a flu, you'll probably have that feeling of malaise, a sensitivity, a touch of maybe even sadness. None of that's fun, but it turns out that can all be a big part of our body's response to help us get better faster. Our next guest says taking all those symptoms together, we can think of being sick as a kind of emotion, not just a physical state. Joshua Schrock is a PhD candidate in anthropology at the University of Oregon. His research includes the ways that disease and infection have shaped human evolution. He recently wrote about this for The Conversation. Joshua, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me on, Rob.
Well, we could throw a lot of words to describe that state we feel when we feel sick. You use the word in your research, lassitude. Talk about what goes into that feeling.
Well, I think we've all had the experience of being sick, and you talked a little bit about it to start off the show. But you certainly feel a sense of fatigue. You're maybe a little bit more sensitive to cold and pain. Maybe you have some body soreness. You might get nauseated more easily. And so the argument that I make in the article in The Conversation, as well as some academic work, is that each of those individual features of sickness are actually shaped by evolution to help coordinate the fight against infection.
Yeah, I have thought sometimes when I'm sick, say with a throat illness, you know, something, a cold or flu that mainly feels like a throat infection. Okay, I get why I have a sore throat, but why the other stuff? Why do I have to be tired and just feel like garbage the whole time? And that's, you're arguing that stuff is actually evolved to help us get better faster?
Yeah. So take fatigue, for example. When you're feeling fatigued, you're gonna do fewer things that cost a lot of energy. You're gonna do less physical activity, fewer effortful things, and because you're spending less energy on these other things, that leaves more energy available for the immune system to work. It costs a lot of energy to mount an immune response.
Right. And that, I don't always think of it that way. It's eating up calories that we might be using on a normal day for other stuff, right?
Absolutely. So for example, every 1 degree centigrade increase in body temperature when you're mounting a fever raises the amount of energy your body's consuming at rest by about 13%. So that adds up over time.
And another part of it is, even if it's not a stomach ailment, being sick may change what we want to eat and how much we want to eat. You write that that's part of this package of lassitude, too. Why is that?
Well, when your immune system, when your body is already working to fight something off, adding another bacterium, virus, some sort of foodborne illness on top of that could be really costly. So when it's already maxed out fighting one bug, so reducing your food intake reduces the risk that you're going to bring in some sort of secondary infection. And then another perhaps counterintuitive part of it is that it actually costs you some energy up front to digest food. So in the long term, it gives you more energy. But in the short term, you're actually taking some energy to digest food. And that just taking that little break from an all-out immune response could be costly when you have a quickly replicating pathogen in your system.
Talking to Joshua Schrock, anthropologist at the University of Oregon, he says a lot of the things that go along with being sick, the fatigue, the lassitude, the loss of appetite, the general pathos, has been evolved actually as a process to help us get better. And Joshua, my wife and I use the word pathos or pathetic to describe how we feel when we're sick. And that's part of the equation too here. This part's not a signal to our body, but a signal to maybe the people around us that, hey, I could use a little help. And you write, that is also something we may have evolved as a social animal.
Exactly. Human beings were highly social. We've always lived in groups and we depend to a very large extent on our friends and family to help us out when we're sick, help us get care, help us get food, provide for our families when we can't do that. And so when you just feel generally wretched, when you feel sad, when your facial expression and your gait changes, that provides an honest signal to your friends and family that, hey, I'm in a bad place, I'm vulnerable, I need help.
Now, this all makes sense, but you use a word to describe this that kind of surprised me. This lassitude is the word you use to describe it. And you say this is, we can think of this as an emotion, which I wouldn't have thought of. Why is that?
So the way that I'm thinking about emotions is emotions are these systems that evolve to respond to certain situations that occur regularly. So, and what they do is they coordinate mechanisms that are appropriate for the situation, turning on ones that are useful, turning off ones that aren't. So if you imagine you're walking through the woods thinking you're alone, and all of a sudden you hear a sound in the brush next to you indicating a large animal, your pupils are going to dilate, your heart rate's going to go up. You are going to be more attuned to all of your senses. So all of those things are turned up. Things that are turned off or turned down are things like sleep. You're not being distracted by hunger. So in this evolutionary framework for emotions, what an emotion does is it detects a particular situation, and it turns on or turns up the things that are useful for addressing that situation, and it turns off or turns down the things that would actually be a distraction or would not be useful for that situation.
Now, from the point of view of evolution, it seems like this is kind of a trade-off, because if I'm getting fatigued while I'm sick, if my body's learned to do that, it means I, for example, can't run away from that big scary animal or go hunting for a different one or gathering food or other resources. But it's enough of a benefit, enough of a trade-off for my body to tell me to get better that balances out. Is that how this works?
Yeah. So one of the reasons I'm really convinced that it's an adaptive thing is that it can be overridden when something more pressing comes along. So say you're homesick from work and you are sitting on your couch feeling sick. All of a sudden you hear a window shattering in the room next to you. You're going to forget that you're sick at least long enough to figure out what happened. So the fact that other more pressing concerns can override it suggests that it's being regulated in a way that's meant to benefit you.
I think a lot of times in pop culture, Joshua, when we talk about evolution, we think of macro predators, the big animals that might eat us or the ones that might sting us or poison us, and that leads to a lot of our responses. You're interested in the little guys, the bacteria and viruses. Have they had as big a role, maybe a bigger role in our evolution than the ones we can see?
They've had a huge role in our evolution. I mean, they've since life first arose, and we're talking about single-celled bacteria-like organisms here, there have been viruses and then later other things that are willing to parasitize life forms. So it's been an ongoing evolutionary arms race from the very beginning of life itself.
As we start to wrap up, Joshua, I mean, it is cold and flu season. Best of luck to you, but having done this research, when you get sick, does it make you feel a little better about how bad you feel?
I think it helps me accept the misery a little bit better. I think it does.
One small consolation, accepting the misery. Joshua, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
That's Joshua Schrock, a PhD candidate in anthropology at the University of Oregon. He joined us to talk about his research on how some of the feelings that come with being sick, you know, the fatigue, the not wanting to do stuff, maybe losing the appetite and more, have evolved to actually help our bodies ultimately get healthier faster.